Good, guys. I'm so stoked to be here. Everybody ready? Everybody excited? Everybody excited to hear God's word? Good, good. I hope so. So let's just right now, guys, let's just focus on Jesus right now, okay? Put everything else out of our minds and as we prepare for communion and worship tonight and God's word. So tonight, guys, what God has laid on my heart to do over the next period of months is to go through a monthly series called The Road to the Cross. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 22, so if you guys have your Bibles, to open it to there. Luke chapter 22, verse 47, we're going to start there. And we're going to be looking at that, just like the title says, Jesus' Road to the Cross. We're going to be looking down, starting when Jesus first got arrested, all the way to his death on the cross. Okay, we're going to look at different events that happened on his way to the cross, on his way to die. We're going to see that Jesus came to this earth on a mission to die for us, knowing all the time what he was going to go through, especially what laid before him that day that he would spend in chains during his arrest and his trial and eventually hanging on the cross. So to go through this, remember, like I said, just to focus on Jesus. Put everything else out of your mind. Tonight, we're focusing on the cross. We're focusing on him and his way to doing what he did for us because he loved us so much. So let's open up our Bibles and read. And if you guys haven't done that, do that right now, and I'll open us up with a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Lord. For bringing us all here tonight, Lord, for getting us excited to hear your word, Father God, for preparing our hearts, Lord. And I pray, Father God, if we're not prepared, you prepare us right now, Lord Jesus. You prepare us to hear your word. You prepare us to help us understand more fully on why you did what you did for us, Father God, and the road that led to that, Lord, that last hour, Father God. So speak to us, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. And speak to us, Father God. We love you and we praise you. We ask all these things in your Son's beautiful name, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's start in our passage, guys, in verse 47, chapter 22. It says, "And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?' When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, 'Permit even this.' And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.' Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You are also of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So Peter went out and wept bitterly." So we see Jesus in this passage, and I want you to notice two guys here, okay? Judas and Peter, both betrayers of Jesus, but with two very different outcomes. One who is unashamed and one who is ashamed. Let's look at the one who is unashamed. So we see in verse 47 that Jesus is confronted with a multitude, okay? Which from John's account in the Gospel of John, his account of this event, he says a detachment of troops and officers were led by Judas. They gave Judas this detachment of troops. So here in Luke, we know that there were soldiers and officers that night. And Luke says a multitude. So when we think of a multitude, what do we think? There was what? A lot. Exactly. So we know there was a lot of troops there with Judas. And it says that Judas goes up to Jesus and kisses him. Now you read this and ask yourselves, why did Judas kiss him? Right? Well, we read about kisses like this in the Bible. The typical word used throughout the Bible is greeting each other with a holy kiss or a kiss of salutation, meaning out of love for your brother in Christ, which comes from the Greek word phileo. Anybody know what phileo means? What? Brotherly love. Good job. Phileo is Greek for brotherly love. But we read this kiss here that Judas gives to Jesus, and it sounds like the same type of kiss, right? Like he's going to greet Jesus. He's going to give him a kiss of salutation or greeting. But we know from Judas's hidden motives that this is not a kiss of greeting, okay? The way that Judas portrays the word kiss here in our scripture changes from phileo to another Greek word, kata phileo, okay? And this puts a different meaning on this type of kiss that Judas gives Jesus. This means to kiss fervently. It puts a stronger meaning on this type of kiss. This is a kiss with a motive behind it, okay? That he would betray Jesus intentionally, unashamed, knowing exactly what he was doing. To me, this shows that Judas is completely unremorseful of just going through the fact of betraying Jesus, of walking to that garden and leading the troops there to arrest Jesus, taking those 30 pieces of silver, completely unremorseful. He doesn't even care about the fact that he's betraying his teacher or his friend, and most importantly, his God. And Jesus says right to his face, "You betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" I looked up synonyms for the word betrayal in the thesaurus. And you know the first word that comes up for the word betrayal? The first synonym that comes up? Judas kiss. Isn't that crazy? Judas kiss, seriously. Even the world recognizes how bad this was. Okay? And even secular people can put that in a thesaurus. And the first thing that comes from the word betrayal, the synonym, is Judas kiss. Another few words that come up is dishonesty, double crossing, double dealing, duplicity, falseness, giveaway, letdown, sellout, treachery, treason, trickery, unfaithfulness. You see, Judas here in this passage is all these words. This betrayer of the Son of Man. Could you try to imagine if you guys were in Judas's place, if you can try to imagine if you were actually the one to betray Jesus, you were there that night? Think of it right now, if that was you. If that was you going and have a detachment of troops and you're going to betray your friend and who you saw many times heal many people, you saw all the miracles he had done, and if that was you, picture that. If that was you. And you're going to betray the creator of this world, God incarnate, or God in human flesh, handing him over to be murdered. Can you guys think of that? What do you think of when you think of that? It's crazy, right? It's sad. It'd be a big deal, right? It'd be a big deal. Absolutely. Let's read on, starting in verse 49. When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Here we see that someone is trying to stand up for Jesus. And by the Gospel of John, we know that this person who drew the sword out and cut off his servant's, the servant's ear. Who was it? Peter. This was Peter. And I like this because this shows Peter's willingness to protect Jesus, right? Like, he's ready. You know what I mean? He sees all these troops coming, and he's like, you know, Lord, I'm coming. You know what I mean? He's ready. I see, it shows his boldness to me. It shows he's willing to protect Jesus. Because like I said earlier, there were a lot of soldiers, right? The detachment was something like a tenth of the Roman legion. You know how much that is? Approximately 200 to 600 men that night.
To get one person.
The fact that Peter that night was even just willing to cut off the servant's ear of the high priest, it was a pretty big deal. I'm like, man, that's pretty cool of Peter. And he stood up for Jesus. But if only he would have kept up with this boldness throughout that night. But we'll get to that in a bit. So we see Jesus. After this man's ear is cut off, what does he do? He heals him. He heals him. Jesus is showing us what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44. To love your what? Enemies. The mere fact that he was willing to heal this man, even though he was coming to help seize him. Probably if he wouldn't have been healed, that man wouldn't have been healed, would have been one of the ones to mock Jesus later, one of the ones to beat Jesus later, or to spit on Jesus later. Jesus still showed this man he loves him even after the fact. You see, Jesus does the same with us. Even though we daily sin and shame ourselves, he still loves us no matter what. No matter how filthy we are, no matter how imperfect we are, he still loves us no matter what. He still wants to pick us back up and heal us from our mistakes because he loves us that much. Let's read on in verse 52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Stop right there. So we see Jesus is telling them, you're coming at me with swords and clubs? Like treating me like I'm a criminal? Was Jesus a criminal? Wait, he didn't do anything wrong, right? He's like, I was with you daily in the temple during the day. I was with you every single day. You saw what I was doing. You saw all the good things that I was doing. How people were being healed. Miracles were happening. All the amazing things I was loving on these people. And why didn't you arrest me then? You're coming here tonight with clubs and swords, treating me like I'm a criminal? And he asked them that. But see the reason why they didn't arrest Jesus that night. I mean, during the day. They didn't arrest Jesus during the day. In those times, it was because the chief priests were afraid of a riot. Okay? They were afraid of the people because that Jesus was doing all these great things. All the people were loving Jesus and following him. And the guys were afraid of the people. They were afraid of a riot. They were afraid that, you know, that something crazy was going to happen with these people. And also they came to Jesus in secret at night because of the influence of the power of darkness. Now Jesus says right there, read with that right there in verse 53. When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. At night, Jesus says, this is the power of darkness. Satan himself, who we read in Luke chapter 22, verse 3 earlier in our chapter, that Satan enters Judas. So who was there that night that betrayed Jesus? Judas. And exactly, Satan. Because he entered Judas. So he was there last night. And Jesus says, but this is your hour. This is the power of darkness. And Jesus' hour also had finally come. So now we've looked at the first betrayer. Let's move on to the next one, starting in verse 54 through 59. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about another hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Stop right there. So right here, right away, we see Peter following Jesus as they took him away. Okay? You see Peter around this fire, warming himself. And we find him in this courtyard. You see, Peter wasn't supposed to be there. Okay? He had no business being there. Especially after Jesus had asked the chief priests in the Gospel of John concerning this event. Jesus says, "Hey, look, you came here for me. Let these guys go. Hey, you came here for me, not these guys. Let these guys go." And so that was their cue to hightail it out of there. And they did that. But we see Peter there. He doesn't listen. He decides to stick with Jesus. That's pretty bold, right? Right? To still go after that whole fact. After he sees 200 to 600 guards and I mean, he's pretty bold to cut off the ear, but then he goes and follows him. That's pretty bold. He sticks with Jesus. And we see right away a little servant girl comes up to Peter. And you guys know the story. And recognizes him and says that he was with Jesus. And what does Peter do? Denies him. He's like, "Woman, I don't know him. You're crazy." You know? To a little girl. "You don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him." Again, two more times he is asked by people if he was with Jesus. And what does he do? He denies him again. And he denies him again. Even one of those times, did you notice in the scripture that one of those times that another knew him as a Galilean, they recognized who he was. And they put two and two together like, "Man, Jesus is a Galilean. This guy's, hey man, you were with Jesus. I know you were. You're a Galilean. He was a Galilean. Man, I know that was you." And even when all the facts are against Peter, and it's undoubtedly, you know, that it's him, it's all there. You know, it's like if your parents drop you off at the mall or something like that, and, you know, they trust you to hang out with your friends or whatever, and I don't know if they do that or not, but let's just say for the sake of the story. And they do this, and then they leave. And then you leave somewhere else off of the campus of the mall to go do something else, whatever it is, you can use your imagination, but it's wrong because your mom is expecting you to be at the mall, and you go somewhere else, and then your mom's going to pick you up, and on the way to picking you up, she sees you walking down the street or something like that, and you see her, and you're like, "Oh my gosh," you know what I mean? And you know you saw your mom see you, and you know that you're probably going to be in trouble, but you hightail it to the mall, okay? I don't know how, before she makes a U-turn on the street or whatever. You know, you go back and she picks you up at the right time. You're there and you think everything's okay, and hopefully she didn't see you. And she goes like, "You know what? Hey, I saw you. I saw what you were doing." And you're like, "No, what? Me? I was here the whole time." You know the truth. Your mom knows the truth. You know she knows the truth. You know she saw you. But yet you still deny it, right? This is what happens here. This guy says, "You're a Galilean, man. I know you." And Peter, even though it's all stacked up against him, all that evidence, he's like, "No, man, I don't know him. You're crazy." He denies him again. Have you found yourselves like Peter before? At school, at the mall, sitting here in Velocity right now. Anywhere you're at, afraid to be recognized, that you go to church, that you're actually involved in church, better than that, that you actually love Jesus. And have you denied that you even know Jesus? Or were afraid to speak up for Jesus in your classroom? Or to whoever, when somebody is talking down his name? Or denied him by not necessarily speaking out about it, not saying anything, but from your heart and your actions, hey, you betray Jesus or you deny him. It's from your actions. Because God knows our hearts, right? He says he doesn't look at the outward appearance of the man, but he looks at the what? The heart. Is that some of us? I mean, I've done that before. That's been said of me before, where I haven't been bold enough for Christ. I haven't stood up for him like I should have. And let me tell you, it's not a good feeling. I'm sure some of you in here know what I'm talking about. It's not a good feeling at all. You feel horrible. So we see right after Peter denies him, not once, as if that wasn't bad enough, but three times the rooster crows. Let's read on in verse 60 again, down in verse 61. But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you are saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Stop right there. So we see a rooster crows after Peter's third denial. And immediately Jesus looks at him. Okay, you notice that? Immediately Jesus looks at him. I can't imagine how that must have felt. Knowing that you just denied Jesus to three people, one a little bitty girl, and you see Jesus looking at you. I can't imagine how that must have felt, this look from Jesus that he gave to Peter. Because as soon as Jesus looked at him, Peter remembered what Jesus had told him in verse 34 earlier, right, of this chapter, that he would deny him. And this look that Jesus gave him, I don't think it was a mad look, you know. I don't think it was a look that he was furious with Peter, like he just turns and looks and he's like, "Peter, you're going to get it, man. Oh, I can't believe you did that." You know what I mean? I don't think that was the case at all. I don't think that was the look that he gave Peter. That he's just so upset with him that he just gives him the dirtiest look ever. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to die." You know? I don't think that was it at all. I don't think that was it at all. You know, and I don't even think it was a sorrowful look that Jesus was looking at Peter. I don't think it was a look that he gave Peter that Jesus was just so torn up about that, about what he did. And although I'm sure, you know, Jesus was sad about it, I'm sure he was. Rather, I think this was a look of compassion that he gave to Peter. And as he looked at Peter, he just gave him a merciful look. Because Jesus knew what he was going to do, right? Jesus knew where he was going down this road, where this road was going to lead him. Jesus knew that he was going to die on the cross and that he was going to forgive Peter for what he did. He knew what was going to happen. So I think that look he gave Peter was, "It's okay, Peter. It's okay. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing here. That's where I'm going right now. It's okay." I think that's the look he gave to Peter. And he knew also, Jesus knew that Peter would be remorseful, because we read in verse 62 that as soon as Jesus looks at him, he goes away and what? He weeps, he cries. He says he weeps bitterly. He's like, "Man," immediately, as soon as he sees Jesus, he remembers what Jesus told him, how he would deny him. And he sees that. His heart drops. And he sees that look on Jesus' face. "Man, what did I do?" And he goes and weeps bitterly. Are we that way? Are we that way when we sin or we do something wrong? Do we feel so bad about it and we're so remorseful that we put that away and we ask Jesus for forgiveness? Are we that sad? So two men here on Jesus' road to the cross. Which one are you tonight? Which one are you tonight? Are you Judas, who is completely unashamed of his betrayal Because remember when I said, imagine if you were Judas, right? If you were Judas, then you can imagine that you were handing Jesus over to you, that that was you betraying him. Well, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus and you're living in sin, consistently living in sin, you're betraying Jesus. Because Jesus is calling you to live for him. He's calling you to turn from your sins, and you're not. If that's you tonight, you don't have to live in sin anymore. You don't have to betray Jesus with sin any longer. You can choose him tonight and be saved and be forgiven and put that all behind you. If that's you tonight, or maybe you're like Peter. You're a believer, but you're not fully following Jesus. You're not as excited about him. You're not overjoyed that you're saved. You're like, man, I'm saved. That's a big deal. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's a big deal to me. Right? That makes me so happy. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Are you not that excited about your salvation? You just come to church here to hear a good message. You're like, okay, that was cool. Maybe goes one ear and out the other. And you move on with your life. If that's you tonight, this night is all about repentance. Okay? This night is all about being forgiven. Why we do this night. Remember what Jesus did in the Last Supper and partaking of the bread and the juice. And what he did for us in shedding his blood. That's what tonight is all about. To see where you can go all out for him. And live a transformed life and be like Peter, who later explodes on fire, telling everybody about him, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like it says in Romans 1:16, right? Unashamed. Because you shouldn't be afraid in schools to stand up for Jesus. You should be able to tell everybody about how you love Jesus so much. And not be afraid about what people think about you, or what they say about you, or even what they do to you. Or afraid to offend anybody, because better offend them than to offend God, right? Who cares what they think? You love Jesus. And you shouldn't be afraid of that. You shouldn't be afraid to relay that and portray that every day in your life. Be a generation of kids who take their relationship with Christ seriously. And seriously, it's something real to you guys. Because I wish I could go back in middle school where you guys are at. I wish I can go back and be like, man, how I am now, I'm just so overjoyed and so excited about Jesus. I just want to change my school. I want to start a Bible study. I want to pray with teachers. I want to tell them when they say evolution is right, that it's wrong, and what the Bible really says in Genesis and what he did. I want to be that kind of Christian in middle school. I want to be that young kid where pastors and elder people look to me and say, man, that's a mature Christian, full of wisdom, willing to do anything for Jesus. And most importantly, you want God to say that about you. Good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You're doing it. To be those real Christians. Because God is calling you to be those Christians. God wants us all to be that way. And if you don't know him tonight, you can know him. And you can be that way tonight. And also, you don't have to feel bad about making mistakes if that's you tonight. Okay? Yes, you can be like Peter and be remorseful and be sad. What I mean is you don't have to dwell on that. And you don't have to constantly say, man, I'm such a horrible person. Man, I'm garbage. Even though we are, that's the thing to look to what Jesus did. And we can be happy about and say, you know what? He forgave me. I don't have to dwell on those things. I don't have to dwell on those mistakes. I can ask for forgiveness and like Paul says, right? Forgetting the things that have passed, but keep moving what? Forward and forgetting those things and moving on with my life and going hard for Jesus. You don't have to dwell on those things. So tonight, if you don't know him, Jesus is giving you that same look. That look of compassion, that look of love and mercy, and saying, hey, I died for you. I died for you, and that's a big deal. Because I love you so much. And all I ask for you is to have a relationship with me. All I want to do is just give you more knowledge and give you more growth and give you more fruit. And to give you the Holy Spirit. That's all I want. And I want you to live for me. And I want you to imitate me. Are we doing that? You can do that tonight. Because God is saying he forgives you. And that's what tonight's about. And also, you don't have to use that as a cop-out. To not go all out for him. Say, you know what? I'm saved. I'm good. I'm cool. Because that is, it's a cop-out. And saying, you don't have to do anything else. I could just stay stagnant and not do anything for him. Don't use that as a cop-out. Use that as ammunition. And man, I'm saved. Use that as ammunition in this world to go out and be those bright, shining lights, outshining evil and spreading the truth of Christ. Okay, so if you don't know him, you can know him tonight. There'll be leaders in the back over there willing to pray with you, willing to talk with you and lead you to Christ. But don't be afraid to make that decision if that's you tonight. Jesus says, if you deny me before men, then I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Don't be afraid. First of all, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ here. And if you do make that decision tonight, you do pray with the leader, we're going to be overjoyed. And we're going to join the angels in having a party and singing and being so happy the decision you made. And we're going to be here to help you. So be bold. Don't care about what your friends think. Don't care about what your friends are going to think at your schools. Who cares? The only one that matters is Jesus and what the decision you want to make for him. That's the only one that matters. Because he wants us to be radical Christians. He wants us to be those Jesus freaks. He wants us to be made, he doesn't want us to be made fun of, but if that happens, what does Jesus say? Blessed are you who are persecuted because of me, right? Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the what? Kingdom of heaven, exactly. And he can say, don't worry, it's okay, that's good. You can be a Jesus freak. That's a good thing. You can be a weirdo in your schools. That's a good thing for Jesus anyway. That's a good thing. Be excited about that. And if you don't know him, you can be one of those weird Jesus freaks in your school. You can be excited about Christ. You can, before we take communion, the juice and the bread, and remember what Jesus did for us, you can pray with the leader tonight and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done, because he has forgiven you. He just wants you to ask for his forgiveness and ask him into your heart. And if you know him tonight, let's be those real Christians. Because God is calling you kids, right now, to be this next generation who stands up and is separate. And stands up and says, you know what, dude, don't talk like that, man. Come on, this is what it says in the Bible, bro. Let me talk to you about Jesus. Hey, teacher, you know, that's not right. This is what it says in the Bible. Jesus wants you to be those kids. Jesus wants to raise you guys up, each and every single one of you. He has a special plan for you and wants to use you mightily. And as soon as you have that Holy Spirit inside of you, you could be like Peter, how he saved thousands of people after he was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and be on fire for him, right? Right? You could be on fire for him. So if you don't know him, as I ask the band to come up and do and start our worship, and we start taking these elements, this juice and this bread. Examine yourself. Like I said, we're going to have leaders in the back available for you, available for prayer, available to be here for you. To hopefully maybe even lead you into a relationship with Christ, to have a new life. But don't waste this time. Don't waste this night right now. Because James says this life is but a vapor which appears for a little while and passes away. We don't know how long we are here. Redeem the time, Jesus says. That's you tonight. You don't know him. You can know him tonight. Because Jesus says, yeah, I forgive you. He just wants you to ask him into your heart. It's a simple, simple thing. And if you know him tonight, examine yourself before you take the elements, the bread and the juice. I say, Lord, forgive me before you take it. So examine yourself. Focus on what you need to do and how you could be a radical Christian. And I'm going to be in the back. We're going to be in the back. If you don't know him, if you don't know him tonight, you don't have a personal relationship with him, don't take the bread just yet. You can know him, and then you can take of this special supper we're taking tonight. Special remembrance of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for countlessly, continuously, Lord, showing your mercy for us, Father God. Why we have a night like this where we can come and remember what you did for us, Lord Jesus. And we can read your scripture, just how you looked at Peter. I'm sure, Lord, with a look of compassion, like a look of mercy for him, and a look of love. You're showing us that same thing, Father God, whether we know you or not. You're constantly reminding us of how much you love us, Lord Jesus. So I pray, Father God, if there's anybody in here tonight, Lord, if there's anybody in here tonight, Father God, who does not know you and wants to have a real relationship with you, that they can have that tonight, Father God, that they come to me or they come to a leader in the back corner and they can pray with you, Lord Jesus, and ask you into their heart, and they could be stoked to go to school tomorrow and tell everybody on what they did tonight, Lord Jesus, and tell everybody about you and tell everybody about what you're teaching them in your scriptures and tell everybody that they love you and that they're unafraid. So let us examine ourselves tonight, Father God, right now, before we take these elements. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. We thank you for loving us so much. We don't deserve any of it, but you still do it. You still did it. And you still remind us that you love us so much. We pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.